Some projects take forever to get off the ground. One of these was the disused storage depot that was owned by St. Bridget's Hospital. It was an unattractive cluster of warehouses around a yard. Once it had held supplies for the hospital, but it was in an awkward place, and new traffic regulations meant that it was a long and cumbersome journey through the Dublin streets to get from one place to the other. It was a part of Dublin that still had its old workers' cottages and factories that had been transformed into apartment blocks. This part of the city was going up, as the property people described it. Soon speculators would look at the storage depot and make St. Bridget's an offer for it, the kind of offer they could not refuse. That's what Frank Ennis wanted. He thought of himself as the financial brains behind St. Bridget's, and an offer was exactly what they needed. A large lump sum. A huge financial injection on his watch. Frank Ennis could see it happening. Of course, every year when the board of the hospital met, there was always some problem and distraction or other. Something that stopped Frank from getting this white elephant sold and investing the money in the hospital. One year, there was the rheumatology lobby. They wanted a rheumatism clinic. There was a pulmonary wing, too, which wanted to set up a day centre for chest patients. And the increasingly vocal heart faction, which claimed that there was sufficient evidence to prove that patients could be kept out of hospital, thus freeing up hospital beds, if they had someone to provide backup support. The cardiologists were like a dog with a bone. They wouldn't let it go. Frank sighed as they faced yet another afternoon in the close, stuffy boardroom. The members were sitting around the table. Frank looked at them without great pleasure. There was the usual collection of people who might have sat on any hospital board. There was what he would describe as a plainclothes nun. St. Bridget's had once been run entirely by nuns. Now there were only four of the sisters left. No new vocations. There were senior officials from the health authority. There were important business people who had proved themselves in other walks of life. There was that good-tempered American philanthropist, Chester Kovac, who had set up a private health center miles away down in the country. The plainclothes nun would always open the window, and then the papers would fly around the table and someone would close it again. Frank had been through this many times. But on this occasion, he felt that victory was in his corner. He had a written offer of a huge sum from a property developer for instant possession of the much-discussed and wasted land around the storage depot. This was money that would make everyone sit up and take notice. Coffee and biscuits were served, the agenda was distributed, and the meeting began. But from the outset, Frank knew that something was wrong. The board members had been foolishly influenced by some statistic recently published that seemed to prove the Irish had more than their fair share of heart failure, possibly connected with lifestyle and diet, with drinking and smoking undoubtedly playing their part in it. They were all discussing methods of giving heart patients more confidence. How great to be at the forefront of a battle against heart disease. A day clinic that would help patients to manage their own lives. Frank Ennis could have cursed the organization that had published these figures just days before his board meeting. For all he knew, it could even have been done deliberately. There was something very arrogant about those cardiologists at St. Bridget's. They thought they were omnipotent. He looked for support to Chester Kovac, usually a voice of sanity in such situations, but he had read it wrong. Chester said that this was an imaginative idea, and he would be happy if St. Bridget's were at the forefront of such a move. After all, the alternative was only money. Frank fumed at this. It was easy for Chester to say something was only money. He had plenty of money himself. Certainly he was generous, but what did he know? He was a Polish-American with an Irish grandfather. He was swayed by the last person he had spoken to. Frank seethed with rage. It looked like the cardiologists had won. Ahead of them now were months and months of agreeing to costs and building work and furnishings and equipment. They would have to appoint a director and a staff. Why did these people not have any sense at all? He sat through the meeting, moving on automatically from item to item. Then it came to the vote for the change of use of the premises owned by St. Bridget's and known as the former storage depot. As he expected, it was unanimously agreed that a heart care clinic should be built there. Frank suggested a feasibility study. He was voted down immediately. They were not in favour of this. They would be another 6 years debating the issue. If they had agreed to do it, then they had agreed. It was feasible. It would, however, need an extraordinary general meeting. Once costs had been agreed upon, tenders received from builders, numbers of staff settled with cardiology. They consulted their diaries and fixed the date.
And of course, the post of director will have to be advertised, the plainclothes nun said.
Oh yes, indeed. I suppose he's out there waiting in the wings for a nice easy number, Frank muttered, still bitter in defeat.
He or she, the nun said firmly.
God, I'd forgotten the women, Frank said under his breath.
He was a man who had often forgotten women. At the golf club, he was always outraged when there was a ladies' day delaying his round. He had even forgotten to get married along the way. But that had all probably been for the best.
He or she, of course, he said aloud. I am stuck in the old days, sister.
Bad way to be, Mr. Ennis, said the plainclothes nun as she opened the windows and let some fresh air into the room once more.